It's great to have each and every one of you here with us, and thank you those of you joining us online. If you're new here, my name is Max. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's great to have you. I don't want to take up a lot of time, so real quickly, right now, we're going to receive our regular church offering, and we'll receive another offering for the Teredeses at the end, but if you'd like to give your regular church offering this morning, there's offering envelopes in the seat backs in front of you. There's also, you can text to give. You can text the word give, the phone number on your screen. You make checks out to CKC. So we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. While they're doing that, just a couple quick announcements. If this is your first time here, we'd love you to fill out one of these connection cards and put it in the offering, and we'll follow up with you. They should have given you one on the way in, or if we missed you, then there's ones in the seat backs in front of you there. So fill those out. You can also put it in the box on the thing back there, but just drop in the offering, and that'll be great. And then just one other announcement, and I'll give you more information about this next week, but mark your calendars. November 13th, we're going to have a marriage seminar. That's a Saturday. It'll be a marriage seminar with some of our friends from Colorado Springs, Roger and Lorene Traver. And so everybody's invited. Family is the building block of heaven on earth, and so we want to minister to families. So anyway, we're excited to do that. I'm going to pray for the offering, then I'll introduce our guests. So Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give. Thank you so much for your love and blessing on our lives, and we just receive every good thing you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you were here last night? Hallelujah. It was great. Well, if you weren't here, you missed it. It was really powerful. You can watch it online on our Facebook and YouTube page and on Ashley and Carly's Facebook page. But there are a whole bunch of people healed, and it was really encouraging. And so somebody just told me, well, I'll let you guys share that. But anyway, so it's really exciting. Ashley and Carly are amazing ministers of the gospel. Next week, they're going to be at one of the largest churches, I think, in the whole country. And so we're really blessed and honored that they come here, and it's just a phenomenal thing. But we're just so blessed by you guys' friendship, and they do so much. They travel all over the world teaching the gospel and sharing and changing people's lives. And their personal testimony is so encouraging. The devil tried to mess with their family, and they've been making him pay ever since. And that's just how it's going to be from now on. Amen. And their family's blessed, and we're blessed. And so everything is good. So anyway, give them a hand. Come on up here, Ashley. It's great to have you.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Have you appreciate your pastors here? Pastors Max and Molly are great pastors. You're in great hands here. This is a great church. How many of you, this is your home church? Say, Caris Church is your home church. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. You have a great church, and we love coming here every year. You know, these churches aren't everywhere. You can't find a church that's going to teach you the truth everywhere. You know, in fact, some churches you go to and you leave feeling worse off, right? Pastor tells you what you've done wrong and everything else. Here, you're going to leave feeling better off. You're going to learn who you are in Christ, and you're going to learn the truth. And Pastor Max is one of the best teachers in the body of Christ, so you've got a real treat right here every Sunday morning. So if you haven't been here regularly, if you're just a guest here, if you're visiting, maybe you've come to see us, then make sure you come back next Sunday. If you're watching online, welcome people watching online. You can tune in again next Sunday. You'll be really blessed. Praise the Lord. I love watching the live stream of this church. I often catch up with you and take part of your services. They're great. So proud of this church. 5 years now. It's been 5 years. Amen. That's phenomenal. So, and it's growing, life-giving church. Amen. So thanks, Max and Molly, for having us. We really appreciate the invite and being here. A few things real quickly I want to share before I get into the teaching. And we've got a few teachings here. This is a new book called Fearless. And Kathy Duplantis read this and liked it. So she wrote the foreword for it. And this is a book about fear, breaking the habit of fear. And, you know, at the moment, you know, the Lord led Carly to write this just before the pandemic. And great timing because, you know, we launched it right at the beginning of the pandemic. So this will really help you break the habit of fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So if any of you have got fear in any area of your life, then grab this and let Nathaniel give this away. Give that to someone who looks like they've got fear in their life, Nathaniel. Looks like they're too scared. They're too scared to raise their hand. If you're too scared to raise your hand, you can get that. Praise the Lord. This is a brand new teaching. In fact, this is the first time we've ever offered this. Now, we travel every weekend, like literally. Like we're going to we'll be ministering in 8 different states over the next 2 months. So during October and during November, we'll be in 8 different states ministering. So we minister like every weekend at different churches, conferences and things like that. But this is the first time we've ever offered this. And this is the Holy Spirit 2-part CD set. And I believe there's also a digital download as well. You can listen to it digitally or sit. But some people still like CDs apparently. I don't know what we're going to do with CDs. But anyway, so if you've still got a CD player somewhere, this is about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you know at the moment we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We need to be operating in the power of God right now. There's no other way to live the Christian life. Trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit is like having a car without gas. It's not going to be very good. It's not going to get very far, unless it's a Tesla. But anyway, if it's a regular car without gas, and my truck's diesel, so a car without fuel is like you trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. So if anyone brave enough to say that they have not got their prayer language or they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then hold up your hand. If someone hasn't got their prayer language, then go ahead and get that. That will really help you. And the last thing I've got here is my course called Buy, Sell, Repeat. I love this course. I made this a little while ago, and I actually rented a studio. I rented a media company to do this for me. It's cost me tens of thousands of dollars to make, seriously. And I hired actors to show you how to negotiate and stay safe. Basically, it's how to make extra money on Craigslist and eBay and Etsy and things like that. And it's a 20-part course. It's not for everyone. It will not make you a millionaire overnight. Okay, if you get rich quick doing this, then I'll give you your money back. But it is going to help you. I have a lot of testimonies of people making an extra $500, extra $1,000 on a weekend by buying and selling things, flipping things. So that's what it is. It's an intense course. It's not for everyone. It's actually half price at the moment back there. So anyway, who wants that? Who's into Craigslist or eBay? There's a lady at the back there that's into, she's got a hand raised back there, Nathaniel, right at the very back. She's into Craigslist and eBay. That'll really help her. Praise the Lord. If you're watching online, then don't feel left out. You can go to our website, terradesministries.com, and you can get a free confession card. We'll give you some things there. Some free resources on there. So go ahead, terradesministries.com. Awesome. I think that's all my announcements. Pastor Max said last night there were some healings. There were some great healings last night. You know, we had someone healed of a hernia. We had someone healed of very extreme pain in their hip and their shoulder. We had a lady healed in her neck. We had some emails come in for some healings. We also heard this morning that Aaron got healed of scoliosis. He didn't have to wear a brace or anything anymore. Is Aaron in here? Give us a wave wherever you are. Praise the Lord. Is he out somewhere? Maybe he's out volunteering. I think he volunteers. Anyway, so he's out volunteering probably with the kids. And then also we had a testimony. Glenda here bought and sold something and made a ton of money. Is that okay? Praise God. Made a ton of money and was able to give into the kingdom. So I prayed for her actually a few months ago, and she made a ton of money. It's awesome. I love it. Praise God. You know what? The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And at the moment, it's really important that the money is in the body of Christ. And is it okay to talk about money in church? Well, I'm going to anyway. If you get offended, then make your complaints to Max Cornell. Pastor Max Cornell, and anyway, you know what? Jesus talked a lot about money, so we're going to talk a little bit today about some of this. First of all, how many of you like to receive? Any of you like to receive? I like to receive, okay? Let's just be real. I like to receive. I remember when, many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, we were poor college Bible school students, and we didn't have enough money to pay attention, and we had a guest speaker come to town, and he said, they've just invented this new thing, Ashley, called iPads, because I've always been a digital Bible person. You know, I haven't had a paper Bible for like 20 years, literally, like I don't use it every day. So if you give me a paper Bible, I probably couldn't find the books. And my pastor, Pastor Lawson Perdue, who I know you all love, he was here just recently, he says hello to you all. Pastor Lawson said to me, you've got to get a Bible. I said, I've got a Bible. It's got like 25 translations on it. I read it every day. He said, no, you've got to get a real Bible. So he gave me a paper Bible. I can't even find the books. I'm no good at draw the sword or anything. So I've always had electronic Bibles. You remember Palm Pilots and all these things? I've always had electronic Bibles. And then this visiting speaker came to town. He said, they've just made this new thing. He said, it's called an iPad. And he showed it to me. He said, you can do this and you can do that. And I was like, wow, this would change my life. And he said, you need to get one. And I said, I do. But they're like $700. I was like, that's not happening right now. So he said to me, you know what? He said, tomorrow we should go out. This was Friday. He was teaching at our Bible school. He said, tomorrow we should go out and buy an iPad. And I was like, well, I'm busy tomorrow. He said, it's Saturday. I was like, well, he said, let me make it clear. He said, I'm going to take you out tomorrow and I'm going to buy you an iPad. I was like, whoa, praise the Lord. I was like, thank you, Jesus. It's good to receive, amen. He bought me an iPad and I loved that. I had a big old smile on my face. I come home, I said, what's going on? I was like, getting me an iPad. I was very happy, praise God. So it's great to receive, amen. How many of you like to receive? We love Christmas. We love to receive, and it's good to receive. But guess what? Jesus showed us, if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Acts 20:35. This is, they're quoting Jesus here in Acts 20:35. They say, you know what? They say, this is I call it the Passion Paraphrase. In the Passion Paraphrase, it's for we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they're saying right here, we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us that giving has a far greater blessing than receiving. Wow, that's a big statement, because I like to receive. I'm not going to lie. I like to receive. You want to buy me something? I'd like to receive, praise God. I mean, it's like a guy over here said, I like your shoes. These were like, a pastor bought me these shoes. They're like, what, $300, $400 online? I didn't know how expensive they were. He bought them for me down in North Carolina. I was like, ooh, these are nice shoes. Anyway, I like to receive. So if you want to give me gifts, I'm all about it. I'm just saying, okay. You know, they have the five love languages. We do the five love language test. Turns out I'm all of them. Okay. I like it all, praise God. I like it all. So anyway, look at this verse, Acts 20, 35. It is more blessed, in the New King James, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a greater blessing on giving than receiving. Now, I don't know about you, we need to find out what this is, because I get excited about receiving. I think it's awesome. So, but there's a greater blessing in giving than receiving. We need to look at this. You know, giving is one of those things that we do. And I know this is a giving church. I heard the testimonies about a few weeks ago, how you gave and you raised money. It's powerful. So this is a giving church. This is a church that knows how to give. This is a church that understands. But we're going to look at a few things today, because I want to show you, if we don't know the purpose of something, if you don't know really why we should give or the benefits of giving, then maybe we're not going to get, we might be discouraged even. I was talking to someone just before service. They said, you know, I've been giving, but I'm not seeing the increase. Well, maybe there's a short circuit in your belief system. Maybe you don't realize the power of giving. And because this church, you get taught the truth all the time, I'm not going to go into the basics. We'll look at a few basics real quick. But for time's sake, I want to look at some of the benefits of giving that often we misunderstand, or often we don't really realize the power of it. So let me say a few things real quickly. First of all, it is God's will for you to prosper. It's God's will if you have more than enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 is a financial chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it's a financial verse. And the Apostle Paul is saying that God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So God's will for you is to have your needs met, but also have extra so that you can give to every good work. That's like God's standard of prosperity right there. That's what we should be at. We should have enough and extra. And that's different for different people, and that's different for different cultures. But this works everywhere. I've seen this work with people from Zimbabwe, Africa, the poorest nation, one of the poorest nations on the planet. I've seen this work in Nicaragua, Central America. I've seen this work in Cambodia, Asia. I've seen this work in prison cells. I've seen this work with single mums. I've seen this work everywhere. This works. God wants you to, he wants to supply your needs, and he's going to give you more than enough so that you can be a giver. He wants to be your provider. He is the Lord our provider. He's the Lord who provides, praise God. That's one of his redemptive names. He wants to provide for us. And it's God's will for you to provide. But if you don't understand why he's providing for it, so that you can give, it's so you can be a blessing, so you can establish his covenant. It's so powerful that we understand this. If you don't understand, back to the iPad, I heard this story once. I love this illustration. This lady bought her elderly father an iPad for Christmas, and she went to visit him afterwards, and she said, Dad, how'd you like the gift I bought you? You know, how'd you like the gift? He said, oh, I love it. Yeah, I got the gift. I love it. And he was in there in the kitchen chopping carrots on it. Put it in the dishwasher. Put it in the dishwasher, see? See, that was a $500 mistake. Why? Because he didn't understand the purpose of it. If we don't understand the purpose of something, we'll misuse it. Or we'll reject it. And in the body of Christ at the moment, a lot of people are either misusing prosperity or rejecting it. In fact, I was in South Africa, and the pastor said, we've got a little bit of problems. He said, there's a few people, you know, mad. There's a little bit of a protest. I was like, this is awesome. I'm expecting, like, cars tipped up, burning barrels, you know, placards. It turned out to be a few people on Facebook, so it wasn't that exciting. But basically, all they said was, don't bring this American prosperity teacher to your church. So for the prosperity gospel teacher to your church. Well, this is interesting. So I stood up and I said, as you can tell by my accent, I'm not from America. I'm from out east, way east. I said, and second of all, I said, the prosperity gospel's a lie. There's no such thing as the prosperity gospel. So the pastor looked all worried. I said, there's the gospel. There's one gospel. That's it. One of the side effects of that gospel is God's going to provide for you. And when he provides for you, it's going to be more than enough. It's going to be prosperity, praise God. So God wants you to prosper. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Another financial verse says this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet though he was rich, Jesus was rich on earth. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. Why? So that us, through his poverty, might be made rich. God wants you to prosper, praise God. So let's look at some of the advantages of giving. When we prosper, it's for the purpose of giving. And let me just show you some of the things. First of all, it's real simple, the simple ones that most of us know. But when you give out of your abundance, when you give finances, when you give materially to the Lord, it's a part of worship. You are worshiping the Lord when you give. We don't need to belittle this thing. You know, I go to some church and they say, I said, you do offerings here? They say, well, we have a coffee can out the back somewhere. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you might be able to find it. And, you know, if they want to give. You're robbing the people. People need to be able to worship God with their substance. You know, the wise men came to Jesus. It said they worshiped Jesus. It doesn't say they sung a song. It said they worshiped him. They gave him gifts. Mary came to Jesus and worshipped him. She broke an alabaster jar and spent a year's worth of salary worshipping him. Doesn't say she sung him a song. We can worship with our substance. Now, singing worship is powerful, praise God. We need to be doing that, praise God. Thank you, Laurie and the band. Powerful worship time this morning, amen. It was awesome. But we can also worship with our substance. We can worship with our finances, and it's powerful to do that. When we do that, we are worshiping the Lord, and we're bringing him honor. You know, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Talking about what we have, our substance, our money. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and the first fruits of all your increase. Verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We can worship the Lord with our money. We can worship the Lord. You know, when Mary did that to Jesus, she gave him that alabaster jar. Jesus said this about it. It really got his attention, by the way. And he said, you know what? Wherever the gospel's preached in the whole world, this woman, what she's done will be mentioned as a memorial to her. Isn't that powerful? That's in Mark 14, 9. So it's really important. The second thing I've got here, we're just talking about some basics real quick. The second thing I've got here is that it establishes his covenant for other people. So think about this. The first reason we give is for God, right? We worship God. The second reason we give is we are actually helping other people. We're establishing God's covenant. God wants everybody to know how much he loves them. God wants the world to know that he wants a relationship with them. God designed everybody to have a relationship with him, but it's their choice, right? Not everyone will because it's their choice. And I love this in Deuteronomy 8, 18. In fact, two of my favorite verses are Deuteronomy 8, 18. Okay, if you remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth so that he can establish his covenant. My other favorite verse is Deuteronomy 28, 8. Deuteronomy 28, 8 is he'll command a blessing on your storehouses and all to which you set your hand. Well, when I first got my book, they said, can you sign my book? And I was like, okay. So I just put my name in there, Ashley. And they said, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, this is new to me. So they said, no, you've got to like write a message in there or maybe put a Bible verse in there. So I was like, okay, I can put a Bible verse in there. So I was thinking, I was a bit on the spot. There was like a line of people. I was a little nervous. You know, it was late at night. So I thought, should I do Deuteronomy 28:8 or Deuteronomy 8:18? And I got a bit confused. I was like, it's around there somewhere. So I wrote in the book, Deuteronomy 28:18. Next, Deuteronomy 28:18. Now, if you didn't know, Deuteronomy 28:18 is you're cursed in your womb, you're cursed to the fruit of your body like this. So if you're watching out there, the first about 5 or 10 people that got my book, can you imagine they got home? They're like, okay, bring the kids. Little Johnny, come on, bring him in. Sit down. Brother Ashley's written us a message in his book. Little Johnny, you look it up. Look up the scripture. It's Deuteronomy 28:18. Look it up, little Johnny. What does it say? You're cursed in your loins. The fruit of your body's cursed. That's not what I mean. But Deuteronomy 8:18 says that he has given us the power to get wealth. Why? So he can establish his covenant. This is about getting the gospel out around the world. This is about people understanding about how much God loves them. See, it's not about money. It's about people. It's about people. The minute you make it about money, you've missed it. The minute you make it about substance, you've missed it. It's about people. Jesus talked about this in Luke 16. He said, you know what? There's unrighteous mammon and there's true riches. True riches are people. People are the only thing that's going to last forever. People. Everything else is going to be burned up. It doesn't matter. So we can take something unrighteous, we can take something temporary like money and actually put it into the gospel and see people born again and set free, which is eternal riches, praise God. So the second thing I've got here is to establish this covenant. It's for other people. You know, Romans, I won't go there, but Romans 10, it says, you know, how are they going to hear unless a preacher goes and tells them about Jesus? And how's a preacher going to go unless someone sends them? Meaning this, we can use our substance to send people around the world to actually tell people about the gospel, or maybe put someone on television, or maybe, you know, put something on the internet or whatever. It costs money. It costs money to have church. It costs money to spread the gospel. And you can spread the gospel without money, but it's a lot more effective if you have resources behind it to spread the gospel. We've just gone on Daystar Television, which is the biggest Christian network in the world, and man, they charge. Praise the Lord. So my kids worked it out how much it was per minute. I was like, don't tell me that. I don't need to know how much it is per minute. But anyway, it reaches 1.6 billion. I say 1.6 billion, not million. 1.6 billion people can watch our television program on Daystar. Praise God. So that's getting the gospel out. We have phone calls. Every time we're on for 28 minutes, we get between 50 and 100 people phone in. Every 28 minutes that want to know about Jesus or want healing or whatever, you know. So it costs money to get the gospel out to establish his covenant. The next thing I've got here is it's for us. When we give, it's for us. It brings us increase. Just like I said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it's going to increase you. When you give, it increases you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 says that he gives seed to the sower and increases, and bread to the eater, and increases the seed that you sow. Meaning this, every time you sow, God's going to increase it back to us. In fact, God is the original giver. He's not a taker. He's a giver by nature. God is good, God is love, and God is generous. Psalm 51 says he has a generous spirit. God's whole character is generosity. Really, you could say he is love, right? From 1 John, he is love, and love is good, and love is generous. So if God is a giver, he can't take. He's not a taker. He's a giver by nature, meaning this, whenever you give to him, he's trying to get more to you. He's not trying to take from you. And I've told this story, I think, here before, but I went to coffee with a big-time preacher, praise God. He texted me, he said, I'm in town, do you want to meet me? I was like, yes, sir. So I went to coffee with him, and on the way, I was like, I've received a lot from his ministry. I'm already a monthly partner with his ministry, so I'm sowing into his ministry every month. But, you know, this is the first time I get to sit down for an hour one-on-one with him. So I'm excited about that. So I want to bring him a gift, right? That's the right thing to do. It's just honorable. So I was going to write $500, and then I was like, no, I'm going to write $1,000. And, you know, it was a little tight in our checking account, just be honest. So $1,000 was a little stretch, so I wrote a $1,000 check. And I got there, and I gave him this check, and he took it. He just took my check, didn't even open it. Took my check, put it in his pocket, and he said, I've got an offering for you, Ashley. And this is an elder. I mean, this is someone who's been preaching the gospel 40, 50 years. So I was a little bit taken back. I was like, you've got an offering for me? No, I've brought an offering to you. This is weird. So he said, so I was a bit nervous. You know, I'd never met him before one-on-one. So I just went, well, I wonder whose offering's bigger then. Like, that's... You know when you say something and you wish you hadn't said it? It's like, I like it when he says, Peter, not knowing what to say, said. Let's build some tension. You know, Ashley, not knowing what to say, said, I wonder whose offering's bigger. Well, he hadn't even seen the size of my offering. And he went, my offering's bigger than yours. I was like, how does he know? I was like, how does he know that could be $1 million? So he took his coffee, he sat down, he pulled out my check, opened my check and went, and then put it to one side, and then pulled out his checkbook and wrote me a check for $4,000. Praise the Lord, I was in it, thank you, Jesus. So he said to me, Ashley, he said, the Lord told me, if you gave me anything during this meeting, that I was to quadruple it back to you. Praise the Lord. So I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord, I didn't give him 500. I've just made an extra $2,000. I'm just being real. So he said, now if you'd known that before we met, would it have changed how you gave to me? I was like, well, I'll be honest. I said, if I knew you was actually going to quadruple everything I gave to you, it would have changed how I gave. I would have gone to the bank. I would have got the kids' piggy banks. I mean, I would have borrowed every penny I could. And he said, well, we've got a problem then, he said, we don't really believe the word of God. He said, because God never takes, he only multiplies. He said, it might not be instant, he goes, but everything you put into the gospel is going to be multiplied back to you in this life. It's a promise from Jesus. It's a promise from the Apostle Paul. It's a promise all the way through the Bible. Everything we give is going to be multiplied back to us, praise God. So it increases us. Here's a few things that we don't realize that giving does, okay? Here's a few things that we don't realize giving does. They're the three simple ones, if you like. For God, we worship God and honor God. Some people say that you can pay respect with words, but honor will always cost you something. So we honor and worship God with our substance, okay? It's good for others to establish God's covenant, to show people how much God loves them, you know, like the Good Samaritan and things like that. If you want to show someone how much God loves them, you know, when you give to them, it's powerful what it does. We bought a family a minivan once. Their car had broken down. We bought this family a minivan, and we just did it anonymously, and we put on the title, From Jesus. They went around telling everyone, Jesus bought us a minivan. I don't even know where they were in their faith, but they were just evangelizing, saying, Jesus bought us a minivan. So anyway, it helps establish his covenant. And the third thing, it'll increase us. But let's look at some of the other reasons for giving that sometimes we don't realize the purpose of giving. We don't realize how powerful it is. And these are some things that are less obvious, if you like. Most of those ones are obvious. These are the less obvious ones, if you like. This is Acts 10:31. In Acts 10:31, there's a man called Cornelius. And for time's sake, I'll just jump right in here. Acts 10:31. It says right here, Peter's talking to Cornelius. Basically, an angel spoke to Peter, and then Peter relayed it to Cornelius. And they said Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your giving has been remembered in the sight of God. This is powerful. The Message version says, your giving has brought you to God's attention. Now, this is in the Bible, so it's like, I'm just reading the Bible here. Giving gets God's attention. You know, in Mark 12, there's a great story of a widow woman, and she came to give. And I'll read you this story real quick. This is in Mark 12, verse 41. I love this story because this is a great example about how giving gets God's attention. But Mark 12, verse 41 says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put their money in. Isn't this interesting that he stood there and watched people giving? In fact, we go to a church. I won't say where it is, but they have about, literally, I counted this time actually, there's 16 different offering buckets. Okay, they have the main church tithes, and then they have all these different missionaries and ministries they support and all these different places, 16 different offering buckets. It's amazing. And the pastor stands there, and one time this guy came up, and he went, "Hey, Bob," he said, "you can do better than that, come on." He came back and gave again. So anyway, I'm not endorsing that. I just thought it was funny. But Jesus was there watching them put money in the offering. Verse 42, this is in Mark 12, verse 42. Then one poor widow woman came and threw in 2 mites, which they worked out today's spending power is probably about $1.50, $2, somewhere around there, which makes a quadrant. And verse 43, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." So they had businessmen coming in giving big old, you know, offerings, but yet this widow woman gave more. She didn't give more in the natural, right, physically, but what she did give, she gave everything. He says right here, he said, "For they put out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." Meaning this, God is not into amounts, because he doesn't need our money, right? He owns the whole earth and the fullness thereof. He doesn't need our money. He's into percentages of what we're giving. You know, in Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And God is not interested in our money. He's interested in our hearts. He wants our whole hearts. And the reason he wants our whole hearts is he loves us so much, he wants to get everything to us. He wants us to live a free life, set free. He doesn't want us to be controlled by the power of mammon. He doesn't want us to be controlled by money. He wants us to be set free in this area and live as free kids and not as slaves. And in Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, you know, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. You're going to serve God or the devil. Is that what he said, God or the devil? He said, God or mammon. He said, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve money? And many of you say, well, actually, we're not serving money, we're serving God. Well, who makes the biggest decisions in our lives? If you want to do something, I feel like I want to move to this other town to join this great church. How am I going to pay for it? How am I going to get a job? I want to retire early and help out the church and volunteer. How am I going to pay for it? What about, I want to go to Bible school. Well, how am I going to pay for it? Sometimes if we're not careful, mammon, money, the spirit behind money will tell us what to do with all our time, what to do 8 hours a day, where to, what to buy, what to eat. Money will speak to us. Money talks. That song was real. Money talks. So God doesn't want us controlled by the power of mammon. He wants our hearts with him, and he wants his voice to be the loudest in our life and not mammon. And that's another whole lesson. But just so you know, God's not after our money. He's after our hearts. But the way this works is when we give our substance, for some reason, our hearts are tied to our money. And people say, no, actually, I'm more spiritual than that. Well, I can guarantee you, if I dropped $1 billion in your lap right now and said, you've got back taxes owed, you owe $50,000, your heart would go, oh. But if I gave you another letter and it said, they forgot about your refund for the last 20 years or whatever, here's $50,000 credit, your heart would go, woo. Okay, so we're not that spiritual, if you think about it. Our hearts are tied to money. It's just how it works. Where your treasure is. He didn't say, people misquote this and say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. No, it's where your treasure is, there your heart would be. This is a powerful truth. So it gets God's attention. And let me just clear this up. It's not like God doesn't know who you are or anything like that. It just does something special to God when you sacrifice to him and say, God, I love you so much, I'm putting you first place. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, meaning the stuff, will be added to you, putting him first place. So let me give you a quick example of this. We had a big conference in Colorado a few years ago. And all our kids are givers. Well, they're giving and stuff. And anyway, they had this big offering for us at this conference. It was an amazing offering. It was the biggest offering we've had so far for our ministry, which we needed it at the time to pay for television, all these other things, payroll and stuff. So this big offering came in. And anyway, it was an exciting time. They took it back to the count room. They were counting the offering. Our staff were counting it. And they called me and they said, actually, they said, you might want to see this one envelope. Now, this offering was a big offering, tens and tens of thousands of dollars. Many people are giving $10,000, $5,000, all these different offerings. They said, you might want to see this offering. And it had my son's name on it. And at the time, he was like 18, just started working, part-time, you know, getting a little bit of money. He probably had about $40 total to his name, which he worked really hard for. So I took this envelope and I looked, and he'd given to our Terra Des Ministries, he had like $40 in the bank, he'd given us like $30. Now, have you know, that really did something to me. And, you know, it's my oldest son, and sometimes me and my oldest son, we clash because we're very similar. So we clash sometimes. And all of a sudden, my heart was moved by that. Now, was it the amount? It wasn't the amount, but it was the sacrifice he made. I knew his heart was with me. So he was working next door, funny enough, at the time. So I went next door to his place of work, and I gave him a big hug, and I said, thank you, son, I love you. And it was something, it did something, it moved my heart, the fact that he had sacrificed to our ministry, and he'd done that. I knew he was with me. Anyway, he missed a trick because he could have asked for anything he wanted to, and I would have given it to him. He said, can I have the car? Can I have the house? I would have given it to him right there. And that's a tiny little reflection of how God feels. It's not about the money. It's about he knows our hearts are with him. He knows that we trust him and our hearts are with him. So it gets God's attention. I tell people this. I say, you know, when you give, like just like Cornelius, when you give, it gets God's attention. Same with Mary. When she gave and worshipped the Lord, it got his attention. The widow woman got God's attention by their giving. There's something powerful about this. Don't get mad about it. I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. The second thing I've got here, it gets the attention of others. It gets the attention of kings. It gets the attention of nobles, of important people. It's amazing when you give, it gets people's attention. Proverbs 18 and verse 6, Proverbs 18 verse 6, it said, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Proverbs 18, 16 in the New Living Translation says, giving a gift can open doors for you. It gives access to important people. In the Passion Paraphrase, it said, would you like to meet very important people? Take a generous gift with you. It will do wonders to gain entrance to their presence. Now, people get mad at this. I'm not talking about bribery. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not talking about weasel your way in. I'm talking about if you love someone and want to gain some anointing from them, you can actually give to them. That's why I give to people like Andrew Womack, because I want some of that anointing. I want to bless him. I want to honor him with my substance. And there's something very biblical about this. The Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings 10 came to Solomon, right? And she came to Solomon and brought him a massive gift. Solomon gave her a big gift back, but she gave a big gift to Solomon, and she got all the questions of her heart answered. There's something biblical about this, and people get mad about this, I know. I've never taught this message, by the way, before. This is a brand new message. I've never taught this before, but I've hinted at things like this, and people get mad about it, and they say, you can't teach that. It's in the Bible, so I think it's wrong that we don't even look at it. There's something spiritual when you give. You're honoring someone, you're placing honor on them, and you're saying, oh, my heart is with you, I want to learn from you, and it's powerful. So it brings you before great men. It works, praise God. And we're not talking about manipulation, we're not talking about bribery, we're not talking about weaseling your way in, we're talking about you honor someone, so you want to give to them and show them honor. So it gets people's attention, okay? It stops the word being choked. The third thing I got here is your giving can stop the word of God being choked in your life. People say, there's no way, actually, the Word of God, how can the Word of God be choked in my life? When in Mark 4:19, there's a parable that says, if you look at Mark 4:19, Jesus says there's three things that choke the Word of God in our life. There's three things. And I think I've taught this before at length, so I'm going to give you the 30-second version. But there's three things that choke the Word of God in your life, and that is the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. All three of those things, really, if you think about it, are financially related. How am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to put food on the table? You know, deceitfulness of riches. If I had X amount of money in the bank, I'd be safe. Lust for other things. If I only had this house or this car or this amount of money. These things choke the Word of God. It says they choke the Word of God. Mark 4:19, that chokes the Word of God and makes it unfruitful. You know, so if you've got the Word of God in unfruitful in your life somewhere, maybe you need to look at, do you have these things operating in your life? Is there something that's choking the Word of God in your life? When we give, we're saying, no, God, I'm actually trusting you. I'm not going to listen to the mammon anymore. I'm not going to be controlled by the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, or lust for other things. I'm going to be controlled by you and you alone, your voice and your voice alone. It's powerful. We need to understand that sometimes it releases the Word of God in other areas of our life when we actually put God first and start giving that way. Okay, the last one I got here. It can get the world's attention. When you give, it will get the world's attention. You know, I love this story in Genesis 26:14. Look at this in Genesis 26:14. It said, Isaac sowed in a year of famine, and he reaped 100-fold that same year. And if you drop down to verse 14, it says that he was envied by the whole world. The body of Christ right now, we're in a season where we need to understand that, you know, that you've heard of the golden rule, right? He who has all the gold makes the rules. The church needs to have wealth in it. Let's get over the silliness of thinking it's about greed. Are people abusing this? Of course they are. Are people greedy with this? Of course there is. Are there people doing this for self-gain? Of course there are. But we need to get over that silliness and realize God needs the wealth of the kingdom of God in his kingdom so that we can proclaim the gospel, so that we can do more, help more people, and see more people set free. If we don't realize this, then what's going to happen is we're going to shy away from prosperity. And the church has backed off of prosperity because they think that it's been misused. Of course it's been misused. We're talking about a balanced look at this. We're talking about right now, we need to understand, we need to be living off God's economy. You can't trust the world's economy at the moment. You can't trust your job. You can't trust your 501k or whatever. You know, you can't trust your retirements. You can't trust your business. You can't trust the government. You can't trust this economy right now. You can't trust the economy of America. You need to understand that right now we need to be living off of God's economy. And the only way you live off God's economy is if you get on his page of giving and receiving. This is how God's economy works. We still put our hand to things. We still save. We still do those things in the natural. But if you're not being led by your giving, then you're not really in God's economy. Proverbs 11:24 says, there's one who scatters, means gives liberally, yet increases more. So there's one who scatters, yet increases more. God wants us to increase more. And the way we do that is we say, God, I'm putting you first. Money's going to be my servant. I'm not going to serve money. I'm going to put you first. And by putting you first, I honor you with my substance. And something powerful happens. There's so many benefits when we do that. It's so powerful when we do that. Let's go one more story. This is, where do you want to go here? I've got like 2 minutes left. So I'm coming to land right now. Well, I'll paraphrase for you. But there's a rich young ruler. And Jesus said to him, you lack one thing. Even though he was rich, he was young, he was a ruler. He said, you lack one thing. You're trusting money instead of trusting me. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor. And he said, the rich young ruler went away sad at Jesus' commands. Anytime Jesus tells us to do something and we're sad, we've missed it. Anytime Jesus tells you to do something, you don't do it and you go away sad, you've missed it. And what happened there was the rich young ruler was trusting in money rather than trusting in God. I'm telling you, church, we need to be trusting in God at these times. You cannot trust in money. Proverbs 23 says money grows wings and flies away. We have to be trusting in God. And the way we do that, the way we put our trust in God, faith without works is dead, right? Faith without corresponding actions. Our corresponding action is we have to trust God with our substance. And how do you do that? There's a number of ways you can do that. Whatever church you go to, if you're plugged into a good life-giving church, the first thing you should be doing is giving your tithe to that church. People say, actually, your tithe? That's Old Testament. That's the law. The tithe is the law. Well, Genesis 14, Abraham tithe before the law. Genesis 28, Jacob tithe before the law. Tithing's been before the law. Tithing's in Hebrews 7. We tithe unto Jesus now. So anyway, you should be tithing, then you should be giving offerings, and you should be trusting God with your substance. If you're not trusting God with your substance right now, then you're open to not doing very well. Whenever we have an decrease in our ministry or on our business or personally, we say, how is our giving? We look at our giving first. Are we living by our giving? Are we actually being led by our giving? Our first goals of the year financially is how much can we give away this year? You start living by your giving, God's going to get the getting. You get serious about your giving, God's going to get serious about your getting. He'll find ways to get the seed to you. He gives seed to the sowers, amen. So if you're short on seed, maybe you haven't been sowing. Amen. Maybe you haven't been sowing. So this is how it works. It's so powerful when we understand these truths. God wants to increase us. God wants us to have more than enough. God wants us to be super abundant at the moment so that we can abound to every good work. And the way that's going to happen is when we trust him with it. If you try and hold on to it yourself, it's not going to work. You have to release, praise God, and let God supply your needs. It's so powerful. We've seen this so many times. I'll end with this story. You know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we needed an extra $50,000 in our ministry. And they said to us, hey, you need $50,000 by Friday. Now, that gets your attention. I don't care who you are, okay? It's like $50,000 by Friday. Help me, Lord. So I said, okay. So I said, what do we do? And I prayed, and we didn't have $50,000. We had about $5,000 in our checking, or maybe about $6,000 or $7,000. So I said, okay, well, I know what we're going to do. We flew down to a friend of mine. He had a conference. We flew down for one session. That's all we could take part in. That's our schedule would allow us to go one session. So we flew down to his conference for one session. We gave him $5,000 and said, can you pray for us? So he prayed for us, and I didn't even tell him what he needed, but he said, I'm believing you're going to have $50,000 come in. Do you know by Friday, that was Monday. We flew back Tuesday. By Friday that month, an extra over the top $50,000 came to our ministry like that. See, God's not trying to take from us. He's trying to get more to us. Amen. We need to understand this truth. We need to understand that God's trying to get more to us. Your giving will do more for you. In fact, your giving will get you things money could never buy. Your giving will get you things money could never buy. God wants us to be givers, praise God, so he can increase us. So this is God's truth for us right now. And I'm when God told me to preach on this morning, I was like, oh, Lord, can I preach on something else? He's like, no, I need my body of Christ set free at the moment in this area. I don't want people being hindered by poverty. I don't want people being hindered by mammon. I don't want people being hindered by covetousness. I want people set free in this area. So if this is spoken to you today, I want to pray for you. It's really important that I pray for you because the Lord showed me when I was praying for this meeting, there's people that need to be set free in this area. So I want to pray for you. So if any of this touched you today, and I'm not looking for courtesy responses, okay? This is just if you need to respond to this, then stand up where you are. I'm going to pray for you. If you're watching online, then do something. Hold your hand up or something so that you know you're responding. But if this touched you today, I'm going to pray for you. And I believe we're going to see some freedom in this area of finances, praise God. I want people set free. God wants people set free. right now. So stand up where you are and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, right now I pray for everyone. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everyone standing up. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you want us set free. I thank you, Lord, your will for us is to be set free. Your will for us is to be free in this area, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus. Your will is for us to prosper, but not just prosper, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to have command over our money. I thank you want us to be in charge. I thank you, Lord, you don't want money to be the one dominating us. And I thank you, Lord, that this gift you've given us a giving. I thank you, Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to honor you with our substance. I thank you for the privilege of being able to give to you and be able to bless you and honor you with our substance. Lord, we take this unrighteous mammon. We take this substance that's unrighteous, and Lord, we give it to you. Lord, we honor you with it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as we honor you with our first fruits, we honor you with our increase, we honor you with our substance. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are going to increase us back. And Lord, we use it to worship you today. And Lord, if there's any of us with strongholds in this area, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for freedom in this area, Lord. I thank you for release right now in Jesus' name. I release people, the bondage, the fear of lack in Jesus' name. All fear of lack to be gone right now in Jesus' name. No more fear of lack in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for no fear of lack. I thank you, Lord, that lack would be gone. I thank you, Lord, that regardless of how much money we have or haven't got, Lord, I thank you, Lord, we're trusting you and we're seeing your increase. We're seeing supernatural increase. I speak supernatural increase over people right now in Jesus' name. Supernatural debt release. I thank you, Lord, for people's debt being released. I thank you, Lord, for supernatural income, new forms of income. I thank you, Lord, for increase in every seed sown. Some of you have been sowing for a long time, and you need to make a demand on that seed that you've been sowing. Because in Jesus' name, that seed is coming back. That seed is coming back in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for every seed sown into your gospel, Lord, is coming back increased in Jesus' name. Lord, we worship you with our substance, Lord. We honor you with our money. And Lord, we repent of putting money before you, Lord. We repent of being occupied by money instead of occupied by you, Lord. And we give it to you, Lord. And we say, Lord, let us be free from this. Let us live a free life, Lord, where money is no longer have a hold on us. I thank you, Lord, we listen to you first. And Lord, if you were to challenge us now, you can only serve God on mammon, Lord. We're saying you, Lord. We're serving you and you alone. I thank you, Lord, we are serving you and you alone. And I thank you, Lord, for givers. I thank you, people being set free as they give and increase as they give in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You can be seated for just a second. You know, I was listening to that. I was just thinking the purpose of being a Christian while we're here on the earth is to be conformed into the image of Christ. How many of you are still falling short of that? Okay, so we're all in process. Does that make sense? And but the fact that we're in process doesn't mean we can take our eyes off the goal and not move towards that. You don't condemn yourself for not being there yet, but you progressively move towards it. And part of the image of Christ being like Jesus is generosity. And I love hanging out with people like Carly that see tons of people healed because it stirs my faith to believe God. And I need that. I need people that are radical. I need to hang out with people that have seen and done stuff beyond where I'm at because it challenges me. I love hanging out with people that pray 4, 5, 6 hours a day. I don't do that, but I have four kids. But I love that because I love the challenge that it gives me that there's greater levels of intimacy available to me in the Lord. I love seeing that. I love being challenged by people who live just exceedingly holy lifestyles. You know, Andrew Womack has never said a cuss word in his whole life, and my pastor always says that's because he didn't raise any cows. But anyway, but I you know, that's that holy, it challenges. I don't feel condemned by it. If you feel condemned by it, you need to go back and understand grace. It's not a condemnation. It's that's available. I can walk towards that. Well, the thing I see in Ashley and Carly's life is this level of generosity that's out there that's available for all of us that God wants us to walk in. It's a level of freedom. These people, it's amazing the way they live there. They really do. They don't just talk about this stuff. They live this way. They have the giving goal first. They'll go hungry before they'll quit giving. I mean, they've done that. I mean, they're giving away all their money and stuff. I love seeing that, and I love being challenged. And so, if you And we shouldn't be offended by it. We should be encouraged by that. We should want to step out and do more and see more like that. So that encourages me. And so what we want to do is give you an opportunity to do that. And when I see something in somebody's life that I want to go towards and move towards, I do what Ashley said. I try to honor them. So I'm personally going to give in this offering. So if you want to give to their ministry, if you could raise your, if you need an offering envelope, raise your hands up. The ushers will give you an offering envelope. They're Teredes Ministries envelopes. Just keep your hand up. The ushers will come by in just a second. And so that way there'll be no confusion. This is go to their ministry. If you're online and you're watching, if you go to Teredes, that's TERRADEZ.com or .org. .com, Teredes.com, just like it sounds. It's phonetically right, you know. And we don't always agree, the English and the Americans, on all that. But anyway, this one makes sense. That's Teredes.com, and you can give on there. Hallelujah. And we appreciate that. We appreciate them. I believe God's going to multiply back to you. But it's not really about that. To me, giving is an act of worship. And, you know, I knew inside my own heart, when I first started hearing this message, I was a kid, and I was like, hey, I'll give, I'll get rich, it'll be great. And I realized that's not the right motivation. That's really being still controlled by the money. And that's not how they live, and that's not what it's about. God does multiply it back, but he multiplies it back so you can give away even more. And, you know, after a while, I mean, I'm not really interested in getting much more material possessions. What you need money so you can have freedom to do what God's called you to do. That's the purpose of money. It's not to store up stuff at all. I mean, I have all these plastic toys. They're all just junk. I mean, so you got to spend hundreds of dollars on this stuff. Because kids love it, you know, we bless our kids. But at the end of the day, all that stuff is junk. It's all going to burn up. But that which we give into the kingdom, that which we do for the Lord, that'll last eternally. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so I want to manage my own money in such a way that I can focus on what God's called me to do. And that's what I want for all of us. So that's why I love having these guys here, because there's a real anointing on their lives to see poverty broken off of people and to see freedom in this area. And it's just the same. It's just the same as seeing people healed physically. You can be healed on the inside of this fear of lack. Mammon's an idol. I don't want to serve it. Hallelujah. They challenged me last year because I was stressing out about some stuff. And Ashley's like, if you had to preach a message where you knew everybody in your church would leave, would you do it? And I was really in a bad place emotionally. It was in the middle of COVID. You understand, everything was crazy. And I've asked myself that question. It challenged me. And I thought, man, I don't know. Do I trust God enough in that area? And as part of dealing with that, I've given away this year more money personally and as a church than we ever have, because I wanted to fight that controlling spirit. I'm not going to be dominated by this fear, and so it's helped me personally. Hallelujah. I'm just testifying. This summer I gave the largest single offering I've ever given. I'm just testifying. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I was at a meeting. I gave the largest single offering I've ever given. The day after I got home, I had that entire offering back to the exact amount. I was like, now you're just showing off, Jesus. I mean, for real, it was wild. I was like, this is God showing off. And then we've had much more on top of that. And so we're just blessed. This stuff works. Somebody said, well, this is over-realized eschatology. Do you understand? You can look that up later. It means too much of the future is already in the present. The whole point of being a Christian is to bring the future into the present. That's what the whole point of being a Christian is, to bring heaven to earth. There's no lack in heaven. Well, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Well, just it's all right. Heaven's coming down here. It takes time. It's messy. Don't condemn yourself. But don't criticize people for trying to do the assignment. All right. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for the offering. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give. We believe you for increase on this. We believe you that you're setting us free from our fear of lack, that you're setting us free from the control of mammon. And we just bless you. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. You go ahead and pass the buckets. As they pass the buckets, if you could stand up. And if you're on my prayer team, once you give your offering, if you want to come down here, we'll pray for anybody that needs prayer. How many of you enjoyed having the Teardesses? Hallelujah. Ashley told me he had to use a dictionary sometimes when he listened to me. Jill said, we all do. I'm trying. I don't try to talk like I do. I just try to use the right word. So anyway. See, the thing about that is, guys, is you need to realize God can use you as you are. So if you're a nerd like me, you can be yourself. And God will use you. And if you're not a nerd, you can be whatever you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come up here.
I've got to be obedient. I wasn't obedient enough to do this, but I really want to pray for you. This house is special, and Karis Church at the moment is going to go into a new level. I was praying about this, and as you guys, because you're all the church, right? It's not just Max and Molly, you're all the church. As you guys seek him more, you're going to see more of his supernatural power in this church. You don't have to seek the supernatural power. You seek him, and you're going to see more supernatural power in this church. This church is going to be known for miracles. This church is going to be known for extraordinary miracles. Things that people can't explain. People are going to come here one way and leave another. And I'm telling you, it flows from the heads. It's important we pray for our pastor right now. And there's going to be supernatural. I know you've already seen it. You've already seen many healings, Max. You've seen many supernatural things. But I'm telling you, that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is just like, you haven't even got started yet. So right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we release this house for supernatural miracles. I thank God this house is going to be known for supernatural, peculiar, strange miracles. People coming in one way, leaving another. Things that they can't explain. Doctors will be baffled. Medical science will be baffled at these miracles that come through not just Pastor Max's hands, but the body in this church. The whole body in this church is going to be operating in this. I thank you, Lord, that as you flow through Max Cornell, Lord, it's going to flow through every hand in this place. I thank you, Lord, for an anointing that flows from the head. I thank you for a supernatural anointing right now that's coming down in this church. I thank you, Lord, for heaven on earth in this church. And I thank you, Lord, for people being empowered. This isn't just going to happen in this building, Max. It's going to happen around this community as your people go out and pray for people and see strange miracles. I see frontline newspaper reports on miracles. I see people blowing this up. The world is going to take notice. People are going to come here. Heathens are going to come into this church to see these strange miracles, to see the power of God manifested. And people are going to give their lives to Jesus like never before. I thank you, Lord, for supernatural miracles in this house in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I received that. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Ashley. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you guys for joining us online. I went over. So I bless you in Jesus' name. May the favor and face of God shine on you. And go forth and say, I'm blessed. God's with me. And if you need prayer, come down. Otherwise, have a great week. And we'll see you next week. Hallelujah. It's great having you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.